I want to greet you in Jesus' name. Also bring greetings from the church in Mexico. We appreciate the opportunity for being welcome here. Some of our children have been here for some years now. We have that to motivate us to come back here, but also appreciate the church that there is an interest in serving the Lord wherever we go. There are different places. Maybe I should mention this before I forget it, that I know some preachers sometimes have something for the children, a little something for the children. And while I'm not necessarily having something particularly for the children, I think the message itself will lend itself to something the children can understand. In fact, children sometimes do better than the adults. What I'm saying is somewhat is that it's on a child level, number of the things that I'll share. And yet it's something that even adults don't always practice like they should. So we pray that God may be blessed in the children's experience to learn a few things as well as us adults needing to learn more. The message I'm planning to bring has to do with thankfulness or gratitude in our hearts. There's a judge I worked for. He sentenced a couple of thousand people to jail. And he told me there are a lot of unhappy people out there. I say this because I think it's connected to thankfulness. People are not thankful. I don't think they're going to be able to be happy people. There's a connection there. And it's a challenge to us to be happy when things don't go our way. In fact, someone has given the thought that when something happens that we don't like or that is contrary to us, it brings out what's really inside. And that's a worthwhile thought, at least to me it is, to realize that our response to being mistreated or things happen we don't like indicates what is in our heart. So may we seek to be thankful in all things. I'd like to bring a number of thoughts on that. It has to do with serving God, living a consistent witness. I went to visit my uncle some years ago, and I walked a little distance, not very far, but some distance from his house up to him where he lived from my car. And he told me, when he saw me walking toward him, he said, "He walks like a bowman." Well, I hadn't particularly thought of that, but I take a lesson from that. Yes, I probably walk like a bowman because I'm a bowman. And we are Christians. We should walk as a Christian because we're Christians. It's true that not everyone walks as they should walk, even though they profess Christianity. I have one other thought here I wanted to share. This has somewhat to do with the message as I get into it more. as I remembered, at least, my parents did not particularly, I'm sure they taught me a few things about courtesy, but not some things that probably I should have learned when I was younger and needed to learn when I was older. Some of the courtesies, common courtesies, we might call them. Like thank you. Some people don't always say thank you when they should. And probably I have been guilty, maybe still am sometimes, unthinkingly. But to say thank you is a common courtesy. Or to be able to say I'm sorry, that's a common courtesy. We all need to say that sometimes. We make mistakes. We don't always do the best thing. My hearing isn't so good anymore. I remember a few years ago, I was visiting at a church, and they asked me to have something in devotions. And after the church was dismissed, I thought they asked me to dismiss the church. And I did. And later I found out that they did not ask me, they asked someone else. I misunderstood. Thought they said my name. Was I ever embarrassed? But it looked like self-importance to do that, but it really wasn't. We certainly make mistakes, and I'm sure sorry in my heart that I did that. But anyway, please is another common courtesy. Pardon me, or excuse me, and welcome. I have received a few welcomes since I come here, and I appreciate that, to know that I'm welcome, but I would have taken it somewhat for granted that I am. But not because I'm preaching this morning, but because we have that connection of friendship one with another. All right, getting into the sermon more. Maybe I forgot to mention the name of the church in Mexico. Valley of Mexico is what they go by. The name is somewhat southeast, as I remember, of Mexico City. So you're all welcome there too. We'll make you welcome. I'm sure we will. Now, the sin of ingratitude or unthankfulness, as we can call it, referring to that, some may not call it sin, but I'm inclined to think it is sin. If we are not thankful people, I think it relates to sin in our lives. There's something missing that's not good. Something missing. I remember our bishop, he passed on, but when we lived in Paraguay, I remember him saying, as a young man, he became somewhat addicted to smoking. And he later, as he tried to quit this, he found it very difficult. He just didn't get the victory until he said, I called it sin, then I could get the victory. Until I call it sin. You know, we're guilty of some things that God sees as sin. We may not call it that, but if God says that's what it is, we certainly should call it that. And that's where we find the victory too, if we really want to please God. So, do you know that a person when a person rejects God's offer of salvation, that in some ways it is worse than other sins? And the reason is that you're rejecting the remedy for all sin. You're rejecting the remedy. He that forgets his friend, someone has said, is ungrateful to him. But he that forgets his Savior is unmerciful to himself as well. And it's good for us to remember some of the things. So some of the things to be grateful for. There's just many things, but some things stand out more because maybe they're more dangerous than some other things, at least in a physical way, I have been, well, to make it short, but someone came to visit my parents when I was a boy. My parents allowed me to have a BB gun. I forget my age, but I might have been about 8 years old or so, to shoot sparrows on the farm. And when these visitors came, they had a boy about the same age as I, and I happened to have the BB gun when they drove in. And after a while, the parents walked off and left me with this boy, and then he wondered if he could have the BB gun. And my mind, he might have wanted to try to shoot a sparrow. And so I left him have it. It was loaded, and he was about here to the first bench. That far away, he turned around. He took it and walked that far, and then he turned around. And he shot me with the BB gun. Was I ever thankful he didn't hit me in the eye or someplace? But he did hit me in my coat pocket. And having something in coat pocket, it didn't even hurt me. But it could have been an altogether different story. I never forgot that. I was so thankful that he didn't hit me where it was more critical. Because a BB gun isn't like a rifle, of course, but it can be dangerous. And it's not something to play with or shoot people with. And then another experience I had that I'm thankful for had been, I had borrowed someone's, was a one, not a pickup truck, a little heavier than that, one ton truck, I guess. I was driving a bypass at Sealers Grove, Pennsylvania, going about 55, the speed limit, the bypass, and all of a sudden, I didn't have any steering anymore. No steering. And it was kind of a gradual turn, and sometimes brakes, when you hit them, pull one side more than to the other. And so I kind of touched my brake to see, and it kept on going straight, so I pressed harder to get the thing stopped as it headed toward a guardrail where there was a drop-off about 8 or 10 feet, but there was a guardrail there, thankfully, or I would yet have gone over that, but it stopped just as it hit the guardrail. So. But no steering, and there were no other vehicles around at the moment. How thankful I was that it turned out as well as it did. And then, not to make it too long, I dug my own well in Paraguay, 100 feet deep, and I had my boys pull up the bucket with ground, and I put a brake on with a rope that I could pull. They had two boys, a handle on each side of the windlass, and if they would have let it go for some reason, I could break it. If I'd hear rattle, or you know, it would make a noise. But this was all silent. I was standing down there, and all of a sudden the world fell in on me. The bucket came off the rope. They had tied it, and I often checked it, but that time I didn't check it, and they didn't tie it right. The boys didn't. And I had a hard hat on, or I wouldn't be here. But it hit me on top of the hard hat and literally knocked me flat in the well. I understand it was almost up, maybe 10 feet or so, from the top when it let loose, from what they said, and I was about 80 feet down. And I consider it a miracle. I was not knocked out, but I hurt down my back very much at the moment. And I, laying there on the ground, I thought I must be broken somewhere, but no, I was all in one piece yet. Anyway, I left them pull me up after a short time, and I didn't even have to go to a doctor, even though my back hurt some for about a month before it all altogether quit. But you think that was something to be thankful for? Yes, I was very thankful for that. But there are a lot of things that are not that tragic, so to speak, that we can and should be thankful for. I remember working where there was a dog about the size of a German Shepherd, and he had the front leg off, which was one leg in the front. The other leg was off, way up to the body. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because that dog could run like he had two legs. I saw him go. It didn't look like the one leg missing hindered him. It reminded me like he was a thankful dog. He could still run. He could really run. I saw him go, even though he had that handicap. All right. There's a neighbor that told me of a man in a local business place in Kentucky. I knew the man somewhat, buying things at his place. And this neighbor said, that man has an attitude problem. Well, I knew he did. I think anyone else could see he had an attitude problem, depending on what happened anyway. I heard him bawl out his secretary one time. She didn't stay working there either, in a very mean manner, bawled her out. And people like that have their own problem, and he definitely, I believe, had an attitude problem. And I'd like to apply that to us. If we're not thankful when we should be, we probably have an attitude problem in some way or other. Ungrateful persons seemingly know well how to justify their ungratefulness, it seems to me. I remember reading about a certain woman which was well known for her grumbly attitude and so on toward life, and a man who knew her very well. One time she had an excellent potato crop, and so he talked to her, he thought by mentioning it, she wouldn't have anything negative to say about her potato crop that year. But she did anyway. She said, yes, she admitted she had a good crop, but now I don't have any little runts to give to the pigs. It's not something to complain about. It's a habit. It's a habit people get into. And it's certainly not a habit we should want to stay in if we're caught in it. The thought here in connection with Jonah, God said, does I do well to be angry? He said, I do well to be angry even unto death. I hope we don't have that attitude. Jonah had a problem, and this was even after he had been in the whale's belly. He still had a problem. It just shows how easily we can miss the mark to be what we should be. But God had patience with Jonah as he does with us. May we be using our opportunities to do better. We have the thought of having these promises, dearly beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Unthankfulness, I think, is a sin of the spirit. People that are unthankful have that sin of the spirit to deal with. Now, you owe me mentality. Sometimes we hear of that. People think someone else owns them something. I'm not talking about an honest wage. I'm talking about an attitude problem again, where people think others own them things that they really don't, and that can be applied to God. People blame God for many things that he is not guilty of, and it's evident that People think God owns them some things. When they talk about the weather and that kind of thing, people act like God owns them what they want, and that's not true. There's a sense in which God does not own us anything. And it's by his grace, by his goodness to us, that he gives us what we have. And we should not have an you wait me mentality. It again borders on the thought of unthankfulness when we act like that. Wrong attitudes never bear good fruit. A you owe me attitude is never truly thankful as it should be. The church is designed to help keep or help meet needs, but from the individual's perceptive that's being helped, it's not a you owe me attitude. It should be a thankful attitude for the help we might need. So the right attitude is necessary to make a proper contribution. We all know the story probably of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And as the story goes, only one came back to give thanks to him. And the Jews kind of looked down on the Samaritans, and I think he even was a Samaritan. The others probably were Jews, and they were not thankful like the Samaritan was. I remember reading, too, about... Part I remember is a boat went down with people on it, somewhere in the Great Lakes, but it was not a great way from, not very far from the shore, and yet there were people who could not swim and needed to be rescued, and a young man did all he could, and I can't remember the exact number, but I think he rescued around 17 people, if I remember right, until he couldn't go anymore. He was wore out. And some years later, when he was older, someone asked him about that experience and said, how many of those people you saved came back to give thanks? He said, not one. Not one. Doesn't that show something about human nature and how unthankful we can be? Not one. It said that a little girl had received the doll as a gift from her uncle, and her mother said to her afterwards, did you thank the uncle for it? She said, yes, mother, but I didn't say so. In her heart, I guess she did, but I didn't say so. It needs to be said, too. That's what I'm trying to say. It needs to be said. It's all right to feel it in your heart, but if we're really thankful, we should remember also to thank people for their gifts and kindness to us. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's a similar thought. Thank the Lord for redemption. Some things we can do, some things we cannot do. And God needs to redeem us, or we could not redeem ourselves. The blood of Jesus Christ was sinless blood to take care of our sins. Man's blood otherwise is contaminated with sin. It wouldn't take that place of that sinless blood. It's good for us to remember that. The price of our redemption is the suffering and the blood of Jesus. And certainly we want to be thankful that he made that provision. Now there's also a thought of a farmer, supposedly. I try to gather thoughts sometimes to make some things practical. But anyway, this farmer had a guest come to him, and he invited the guest to eat. I suppose it was breakfast, if I remember the story right. Eat breakfast with him, and this man, guest, was an unbeliever, and the farmer was a Christian. So before they ate, the farmer bowed his head and thanked God for the food. And afterwards, the guest was kind of rude, and if I remember, he said something like this. Anyhow, it was disrespectful. He called it old-fashioned to pray and give thanks like that. He called it old-fashioned and claimed that well-educated people don't do that. That was his attitude. The farmer said, well, there's some on his little farm that don't give thanks either before they eat. And, the guest said, who that would be that was so sensible and enlightened? And the farmer simply told him, my pigs. Now, if you think that was not courteous, why? Maybe you should. I think that guest needed something like that. If you read the Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5, I'll read them. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And that last proverb I read, I think, is answer by reproof. And I think that's what that farmer did. That guest needed reproof. I want to read a few scriptures here as it relates to thankfulness. If you haven't read it, you can look at it now in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says something like this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The thought of unthankfulness is very clear there. And I suppose if you learn the memory verse, I think I learned it fairly well, but it mentions thankfulness in that verse also as an important thing for us to do. And here we have it at the top of the list of other things that follow that are not good at all. So being unthankful opens the way for other things that are not good either. 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Notice, unthankful. Unthankful, unholy. 2 Chronicles 32:25-26 speaks of Hezekiah, rendered not again the benefits done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. The reason I'm reading that is it shows what can happen to us. And I personally believe if we can be thankful in all circumstances, not because it's pleasant, but because it's right, it will help us through many a difficulty in a better way. And then we have in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 to 48, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. That's where unthankfulness leads to. And we a lot will take us. Now in Romans, chapter 1, I'd like to read a little more of that. Verse 21 I read. I want to read a few more verses, 22 to 25. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped God and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I wondered already how you can change the truth of God into a lie, and I suppose there are a number of ways. But one would be, in my understanding, when you contribute to creation, to marvelous creation and all the evidence that there is intelligent design behind it and all the power of God behind it, and then contribute it to a big bang or evolution idea that is promoted in the world today. It's just an example of trying to change the truth into a lie, though really you can't do that in God's sight, but that's what people try to do. Then reading on further down, verse 28 to the end, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There are other lists in the Bible of sins. This is just one. And I personally believe when we are not grateful for the good things God has blessed us with, we will go down further in some of these bad things. The need of an ungrateful person. I remember reading about a certain scientist. Scientists get credit sometimes for discovering something, and I suppose they do. And someone asked this scientist what the greatest discovery was that he ever made. And I appreciate the testimony. This is what he said. That he was a great sinner and that Jesus is a great Savior. That should be our testimony. Sin's categories. I had a friend some years ago, he passed on, but somehow we got talking about sin, and I thought sin could be categorized somewhat. You don't put it all in the same class. Now I have nothing for that. Sin is sin. It was all equally bad to him. Well, I didn't agree with him. Reading my Bible, at least I thought I'm right on that, that there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. And that's just one classification or category. And there are inherent sins or actual sins. There are sins of ignorance and sins of weakness. There are deliberate or premeditated sins. And I think that's just an example of some doctrinal distinctions of sin. Now, I know that a small sin, if it's not repented of, I think it leads to others, and it can be your destruction in the end. Just like a ship, a small leak will sink a big ship. It just take longer than a big hole being blasted into it. So it's something to think about, that we don't want to tolerate any of it. But do you do have the thought in the Bible of being a sin unto death and a sin not unto death? Well, I often wondered what that included. I came to the conclusion, one thing it would indicate is a sin not unto death is one that's repented of, and sins unto death are the ones that are not repented of. But maybe you find some better application than that. Sinful man makes his own distinctions, however. I didn't write much down on that, but some are called acceptable lifestyles by what people say, and the sins to justify by other ways of saying it. Lying is sometimes called prudence, and rebellion, in the case of Moses with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they refer to the people that they were supported by as also holy men, and yet they were rebellious people. They give it the wrong name, I think. And God proved that when the earth swallowed up some of them. So some people call a lie a white lie and so on to make it look better, but yeah, they'll admit it's a lie, but they call it a white lie. It's not a bad one. So lies are pretty much lies. I'm not sure you can make the distinction. Some people do. So ingratitude to God, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. God said that in the book of that was in Jeremiah, I guess. I didn't write the reference down on that. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled. No, that quote I had was from Psalm 109, now remember, verse 5. But Nehemiah, we have this thought, and not Jeremiah. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew the prophets which testified against them, to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. That's Nehemiah chapter 9, I believe. That's talking about the rebellion of the children of Israel before they were let into captivity, I think, and that's what brought them into captivity. Now, we also have the thought of Judah's two great evils. This is in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 19. It's included in that section. The sin of that nation is denounced, the faithful Lord versus the unfaithful people, is the note I made of that. It tells us, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. I think that shows us ingratitude in forsaking the God, the fountain of living water. And it shows us our people's folly in trying to supply their own water by self-effort and dependence on lifeless idols. I think you'll find that thought in that scripture. That's what it amounted to. That's all I'm going to share at this point. And I hope we are encouraged to express thankfulness, not just think it in our hearts, but also to express it. Maybe kneel for prayer.